Do you believe what is written up on the screen? God, the one and only. I'll wait as long as He says. Everything I need comes from Him, so why not? He's solid rock under my feet, breathing room for my soul, an impregnable castle. I'm set for life. If you like that, if that expresses how you think and feel about God, then you're going to like Psalm 62, which has as this preface, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Truly, the words of this psalm are something to sing about, as I will show. Now in verses 1 and 2, David said this. Truly, my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Wait silently for God, because sometimes that's all you can do. There are things we can do, and there are things God does. God will not do what we can do for ourselves, and He does not expect us to try and do for us what only He can do. From Him, therefore, David said, salvation comes. Now, in this case, David didn't mean salvation from sin and hell, in this case. But from his current distressing situation of someone attacking him verbally. Some people tried to ruin him with their words, and he needed salvaging from what they were doing to him. And you know, when someone tarnishes your reputation, there's really little that you can do. And that is when you have to wait silently for God to do His work. Now, according to verse 2, there are three things that God was to David. Number one, He was David's rock. Number two, David's salvation. And number three, David's defense or stronghold or fortress. When man makes a fortress, it's very hard for the enemy to break through. And often they do not. But in this case, David didn't have a mere man-made defense. And it's not as though God provided a defense. God Himself was the defense. God Himself was the defense. So who can ruin you when God defends you? Are you trying to remain true to Him? He'll remain true to you. And so don't fret and worry when someone's trying to destroy you, but just simply wait silently for God. Next, verses 3 and 4. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. In the opening lines, David spoke to whomever would listen. In verse 3, he spoke to his enemies. In verse 4, he spoke to us about his enemies. How long would they attack David? When do gossips, talebearers, and false witnesses get tired? Don't they ever take vacation? Don't they ever say, oh, let's just leave them alone for a while? They're relentless. You can devote yourself to doing good things, as David did, but while they will rarely do any good themselves, they will still nevertheless criticize you. And that's what David experienced. How long would they keep attacking David? Well, David didn't know, but he just knew that God would stop them because they were like a leaning wall or a tottering fence. You know, the first couple of years I worked here, I could see out my office window over onto our property this way, and one of the fences on with the neighbors that borders us there, it was just leaning and leaning, and then they put boards up to hold it up, and finally it just came down. And now they've not replaced it. It's their fence. And that's what these people are like. They really have no stability in themselves. But they're sure that it's someone else's fault. And finally, when they fall, they just expose all their insides. They show what they're really like, no longer able to hide. So God can push them over and they fall. And I've witnessed that so many times. With backseat drivers in the church who think that they know better than anyone else. And David evidently had that problem too. Verse 4 says, about the only thing these gossips talk about with each other is how to cast someone down from his high or favored position. They like hearing lies about the one they attack. They want to hear things. Whether it's establishing the truth or not doesn't matter, as long as it's dirt. They wanted dirt on David. Even if it was lies, that was okay with them. Oh, they may have blessed with their mouths, David said, but inwardly, or when they were with each other, they'd curse him. Never really revealing their true selves to him. So now in verses 5 through 7, David said, "Wait silently for God alone. My soul," now he's speaking to himself, "wait silently for God alone. For my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." Often in situations that David pictured himself in verses 3 and 4, you know, there's just not much you can do except preach to yourself like David did in verse 5. My soul, David, wait silently for God. You know what to do in this case. Wait silently for God. He is the one who's going to save you. You know, and in some situations like that, you can't fight back verbally. If someone's determined to ruin your reputation, they're not going to listen to your reason. They're not going to listen to you defend yourself because they don't want to hear that. They're not interested in clearing your name. They're interested in muddying your name. And so they like to get around with each other, he said, and speak lies to one another. In this case, about David. Therefore, David placed the matter in God's hands, knowing that the expectation of good things come from Him. Because, as David said in verse 2, and then he repeats in verse 6, God was David's rock, God was David's salvation, God was David's defense. That's now the second time he has said those three things. Therefore, David would not be moved by these false allegations, nor would his detractors move him from his position, a position that God had put him in. If God puts you in a position, He'll keep you there. Now, it doesn't mean it'll be easy going. In fact, the devil doesn't like when God does something. So if you're the beneficiary of God's blessing, if God has put you in a position where He wants you, Satan's going to go after you, and you're going to feel the heat. But do what David did here. Wait for God, and He'll take care of the situation. And you know, that thought was so grand that again in verse 7 now, for the third time in this psalm, He said that God was his salvation, his rock, and his refuge. And then he adds this time, he's also my glory. But David just really needed to convince himself of this truth because he saw what others were doing to him and he wanted to convince us of that truth, persuade us of that truth. You need to know who God is. He's your rock, salvation, defense, and in fact, on top of that, he's even your glory. So wait for him. Put your trust in him. How are you going to move a man or woman like that? Don't try it. So then, he repeats what he's already said in verse 8 by telling us to wait silently for God whom you trust. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. You know, if these things are true that he said in the first 7 verses, and they are, then not only David, but all of us, at all times, he's telling us, the reader, we can trust God. Therefore, when someone attacks you, pour out your heart to God. Because God was a refuge for David, and David said he'll be a refuge for all of us. Wait silently for God, not man. Verses 9 and 10. Surely men of low degree are a vapor or breath. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Man attacks us, as David was experiencing here, but what is man? You know, he said, take it from one extreme to the other. Men of low degree, whether he's talking about their intellectual abilities or their financial resources or whatever it is he's talking about, men of low degree, you know, they're just like vapor. They're just like your breath. Because they don't last very long anyways. Now contrast that with God, who's always here. Go to the other end, men of high degree, and take that for whatever he means in that regard. Men of high skill, high intellectual powers, great wealth, whatever it is. He says they're a lie. Now, what he means by that is not necessarily that people in high positions or people who have something are lying, but it's a lie if we believe that because of that high degree, they're going to last forever that way. He says, no, that's a lie. Don't believe that. They don't remain like that forever. Contrast that with God, who never changes, and he is the truth. So take all men of all social levels, of all intellectual levels, of all skill, men who have all kinds of resources, whatever it is, put them all on a scale, and David says, do you know how much they weigh? As much as vapor. Or as much as your breath that you're breathing out right now. You want proof of that? Where are all the men and women of low degree and high degree in the past? Every single one of them are gone. Whether they were wise or foolish, whether they were successful in life or failures in life, it doesn't matter. They're all gone. But God remains, and God is true. Therefore, he tells us in verse 10, you know, don't trust in oppression. Don't trust in robbery. And if riches increase, even if you're in riches increase, don't trust in them. The idea being, of course, that you need to trust in God. He's the one that you wait silently for. Then David ends the psalm, verses 11 and 12, with these words. We should wait silently for God's power and mercy. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. So really what David is doing here is summarizing the whole psalm. He didn't fret over the rumors or those who were spreading the rumors. He focused on something, or rather on someone else. He listened to God. He says he heard God speak once. He heard again. And what did he hear? What do we need to hear? Power belongs to God. Don't ever forget that. The next time a gossip monger does his or her work on you, don't forget Psalm 62 and the truths that it delivers to us. David knew that he would receive mercy from God. And why is that? Because David always wanted to be true to God, and he never sought to ruin someone's reputation. That was not David. He let others do that kind of stuff. Therefore, not being the perpetrator, but the victim, he knew that God would give him the power and the mercy that he needed. You see, he said, God renders to each one according to his work. Are you trying to do your best? Have you devoted your life to doing good things for other people? Well, God says, or David says about God, that he'll render to you according to your works. He'll do good for you in return. Are you trying to ruin somebody's life? Are you trying to create a situation like that David's enemies did to him? Or are you often speaking about someone else, willing to listen to lies to tear down someone? David said, God will render to you according to your works. In other words, the same thing will happen to you that you're doing to others. God operates the same way today that he did in Psalm 62. There is nothing about Psalm 62 that says this is excluded from Christians or that it's only something that speaks about Israel. And on the last matter of God rendering to each one according to his works, you know, that we just noticed here in verse 12, Paul quoted David in Romans 2 and verse 6. He quoted from Psalm 62, verse 12. And then also in Romans 14, David took the matter of judgment and expanded on it even more. Listen to this, starting at verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And there Paul goes again, quoting from the Old Testament, this time from Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 23. After quoting from the prophet Isaiah, he continued in verse 12. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. And David's enemies needed to learn that. So Paul took what David said, quoted it, and then even later just spoke more about this matter of judgment and about God rendering to us according to our works. So what are my works? How is my life to be characterized? That's how God shall deal with me. He'll give back to me what I've been giving to others. So are you in a situation like David? Like he was in Psalm 62? Why not ask us to pour out our hearts before the throne of God on your behalf? Are you creating a situation for someone like David's enemies did for him? If you are, repent right now. And then ask for the forgiveness of that person, and we'd also like to pray for you. And really the only way to be safe at the judgment that is coming, the only way to be safe at the judgment that is alluded to in Psalm 62:12 and then expanded upon more in Romans 14 is to be in Christ. That's really the only way to go about it. To be a Christian and to be a faithful Christian. Can we help you either with becoming a Christian tonight or with becoming a faithful Christian again? If so, why wait any longer? Come forward now to stand and sing.